Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
Love movies. Not only are they a great form of entertainment, they can also make you think, learn useful life lessons, and help you develop your English vocabulary and listening skills. In today's episode, we're going to discuss some quotes from the most iconic movies ever made. Plus, you will learn tons of advanced vocabulary in the process.
Yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
tantalizing
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, filming yourself speaking in front of the mirror, or even
finding a parking spot at the mall.
I'm joined here in the global studio by multiple voices that you've already heard. First of all, the most leka teacher in all of South Africa, Kase. How's it going, Kase?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, Ethan. Thanks.
And our very own Axel Pose, Thiago. How's it going, Thiago?
Hello, Ethan. I'm doing well. How's it going? Hey, everybody.
Great to have a Three Musketeers, Dynamic Three, Dynamic Trio here in the studio. And today's lesson, I'm really looking forward to it. Just like going over the notes and everything. It's going to be a bit different. It's going to be a lot of fun. So I think you, dear listener, you're going to enjoy it a lot. So stick around until the end. And I was going to ask, though, Kase, you said that it's a tantalizing way to learn English. What does tantalizing mean?
So tantalizing describes something that excites your senses or your desires. So it makes you want more.
Right. You might hear, maybe you hear a restaurant or you read a restaurant review that says, you know, it's a tantalizing experience, meaning that probably this restaurant has a very special sort of menu or something like that that isn't what you would find in, you know, your typical restaurant down the block.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah. Oh, it's often used with food. Yeah. So the food can be tantalizing or like, I guess, the experience. And again, it's one of those things where like we would describe someone as looking tantalizing or this person is dressed in a very tantalizing, exciting way or visually they look tantalizing. So yeah.
I just be careful, like, the tone you use if you say that to someone, though, that, like, you look tantalizing, because depending on your intentions with that person, they could take it one way or the other, right?
Exactly.
So always need that parentheses there.
Yeah, I believe we use that word in one of our Learn English with TV videos, yeah, as an example.
Could be. Do you remember the context?
Oh, no, not really. I think it was the best series to watch in 2022. And then we were going over some nice vocabulary to describe those series. And one of them, we described it as tantalizing.
So I'll have to link that lesson in the show notes in case people want to check out some tantalizing series to learn English. And that's perfect topic for today. We're talking about movies, not TV series. But before we get into that, we have a shout out to a very special listener and app user.
So Glaucio says, the best tool I've ever found over all the internet to give a real boost to my English skills. The Real Life staff are really committed and devoted to make English learning a fun, interactive, and exciting experience of a lifetime. This is the definitive app you should have to really make English language part of your life. This is from Glaucio in Brazil.
Wow, that is a hell of a shout out. Thanks so much, Glaucio, and it's great to hear that you find that the app's been like the definitive tool that you need to make English a part of your life. That's really spot on for what we're trying to do for your English learners. So dear listener, if you haven't tried it yet, be sure to go download it and give it a go. Can definitely make learning with this podcast a lot more effective. And you can meet people from all around the world, discover different cultures. And if you enjoy it, then leave us a 5-star review in your favorite app store and maybe we'll shout you out as well. So that said, we have a special new section we're going to try out today. And I'm going to use connected speech here because, you know, it's always a good excuse to use connected speech. What'd you watch last weekend?
What'd you watch?
Oh.
I like it.
What you watch? I like that.
I would never say it like that, though. What you watch?
What you watch?
What, I can't even.
What you, right? What you watch? What you watch?
Do you want to explain that connected speech there, Thiago?
Oh, yeah, sure. So here we have the auxiliary verb did, right? So instead of saying what did you, we could reduce the word did to a D. So we go what, but then we connect that with the you. It becomes what you watch? What you watch last weekend?
Yeah, and that often happens when we have like a T followed by a D. Or I believe also if you have like a D followed by a T, though, since they're kind of like mechanically similar in your mouth, a lot of times we drop one of them, right? So it's like, that's why we say, we don't say what did, we say what did or what you, reducing all those together. So just us lazy Americans trying to find easier ways to to talk. So, all right. What'd you watch last weekend, Kase?
Before I tell you what I watched, I think I should give you a bit of a backstory or a bit of information as to, you know, how I came to watch it so that you can understand why I'm watching it.
I'm really curious now.
I've recently been interested in learning Korean. Mm. And one of my students from Seoul, South Korea, recommended I start learning basic sounds of the language before learning the actual words. So she said, like, get familiar with the sounds. Yeah. So I watched some episodes of a Korean drama called All of Us Are Dead. And I started watching in Korean, but with English subtitles. And I absolutely love it.
Wow. How are you practicing the sounds watching it?
I listen, and, you know, if I hear mostly, I'll be honest, I mostly practice the short words. I'm not going to do it today. But, yeah, I practice, like, the sounds, and I play. I write it down because I'm getting familiar with the characters, the written characters as well. So I try to, you know, figure out what sound fits with which character.
Nice.
Yeah. That's what I've been doing.
So you're becoming quite the polyglot, Kase, between English, Afrikaans, Portuguese, Korean.
Yeah, I hope. That's my goal. But I'm working hard on that.
That's amazing.
I didn't tell you what it's about. So All of Us Are Dead is about like a group of students who are trying to escape their school after a zombie virus outbreak. So their school is basically ground zero. Ground zero means a starting point or base for an activity or, you know, an outbreak of some kind. That's it. That's
interesting.
That's what it's about.
So if anyone's wanting to practice their Korean, could be a great choice. Mm-hmm. How about you, Thiago? What did you watch last weekend?
Well, since I am the old soul in the team, I saw an old movie again. I was watching the Back to the Future trilogy again, but this time with my son, right? Because that was a movie that I saw countless times when I was growing up, but it was my son's first time watching it. So I saw it with him, and it was a blast. You know, he had a lot of fun with it. And I really love this movie because, you know, basically, I'm going to talk a little bit about the first one. Yeah, so the plot is about a teenager who's 17 who travels back in time. 30 years ago, 30 years back in time, and he meets his parents the same age as he is at 17. So the movie plays with this idea of meeting your parents when they were as young as you or teenagers. So, you know, it's a real fun, hilarious movie. And, you know, the music is also amazing, right? So if you haven't seen it yet, by the way, I mean, I really recommend the whole trilogy. I think Back to the Future, it's one of those movies that everybody should watch at least once in their lives, you know, because it's timeless, right? I mean, my son saw it and he had the same reaction that I did when I was his age watching it, you know. He had a lot of fun. And the movie's like from 85 or something. It's really old already, you know. So it's a testament that it's worth watching it because, you know, it's a timeless classic.
Yeah, you used a couple words there I'll ask about. You said it's a testament and it's timeless. What do those mean?
Yeah, testament would be like proof, right? It's a testament, it's proof, right, that this movie is a classic. And something timeless is something that the rules of time or the law of time doesn't apply to it, you know? So there are many movies nowadays, for example, that are released, you know, but then people watch it and they quickly forget about it. Yeah. But if you have something that lasts for a long time, like an old classic that everybody keeps coming back to, we can call this timeless, because it doesn't matter if it is 50 years old or 100 years old, people will still consume it.
Yeah. Great explanation and definitely a great recommendation. I couldn't agree more. It's I remember watching it with my dad, and it's definitely couldn't agree more. That's kind of like the timeless thing. You're making me want to watch it again.
Oh, it's so good, man. It's so good.
What did I watch? I watched a series as well, like Kase. And definitely it's there's a lot of nudity in it, so definitely be aware. It's from HBO, which their series tend to have a lot of nudity, so be warned about that. But it's really interesting because it's about like women's what's it called, the suffrage movement in the 60s. Mm-hmm. Of, you know, women breaking away from their traditional roles, where, you know, they could be pretty much back in the day, it's not that long ago, even, you know, like 60 years ago, that women basically would either be a homemaker, which means, you know, that they would be at home taking care of cleaning, cooking, taking care of the kids if they had them, or they could maybe have a job, but typically it would be, you know, being a nurse,
teacher,
or a teacher. Yeah. Roles that were seen as being, you know, only for, women principally. And in the United States, that a big change happened in the, I think, like maybe the late 50s, 60s, that women became more empowered and they started kind of breaking out of that traditional role. And so this is about a woman who's very passionate about that movement. And she's trying to do this, and she's trying to create a magazine about women's empowerment, but no one wants to support it because it just seems too intense, too counterculture, and they don't think that it'll be successful. But she ends up getting support from a guy who has a pornography magazine business. And so they make like the first magazine that's for pornography, but it's directed towards women, and it also has this theme of women empowerment. So obviously not for the faint of heart, but it's a really funny series, and I found it really interesting too, just reflecting on, you know, this movement and everything. It's like incredible to just think about that people used to think this way. And I know in many cultures, there's still, women still have a more traditional, different role than men do. So, it was interesting just to reflect upon that.
Interesting. By the way, Ethan, you said something nice there, not for the faint of heart. Could you explain that?
Oh yeah. Nice catch. If you're faint of heart, it means that you're kind of sensitive, right? That you're easily offended, or easily frightened, or easily affected. So if we say something's not for the faint of heart, then it's basically not for people who are easily offended in this case. But if you're someone who's more open-minded, then you'll probably enjoy this series and get a lot of laughs.
Nice.
Oh, I love it. I'm gonna check it out for sure. Sounds like my kind of series. So
not to watch with your son though.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Anyways, I think that's a perfect place to jump into today's main topic, all about movie quotes. So you guys have already gotten some suggestions on TV series, movies you could watch this weekend. We'll give you even more. All right, first of all, Thiago, why is it important to watch movies to practice your English?
Yeah, one reason I can give about this is the movie gives you different contexts in which words and phrases are used. So when you watch a movie, you get to see how the language is being used in various situations, which is really, really useful. It's not just about the words, but also about what is going on in the scene. So that's actually a tip that I gave on the Instagram Live that I was with Kase recently. And I said that, you know, don't focus only on the language, but also focus on the situation, on the context of the scene. What is happening there that made those characters say those things? Yeah, so the movie gives you that. And the cool thing is that depending on the genre, you know, the movie genre that you watch, or the kind of movie, you get to be exposed to different vocabulary. So let's say, for example, you watch a drama about doctors in a hospital. So probably you will be more exposed to vocabulary related to health and illness, right? Or medicine in general. But if you watch a comedy about people going to the beach and have fun, you're going to be exposed to a different set of vocabulary. So that is one reason. Yeah. It gives you different contexts where the language is used.
Yeah. That's a great point. Like if you watch Back to the Future, for example, at least the first movie, it might be really great for learning language related to going to high school, or even if you maybe you're wanting to learn some like old slang, you know, that people used to use. I think that's actually a part of the comedy in it, right? Is he's he's from the '80s and he goes back to like the '50s and or the '60s, and so it's like the slang changes and everything. And this is something that's very true, that our parents use different slang than we do, right?
True.
Yeah, I think you touched on something else there. Like, it's the cultural stuff too. It's not just the, you know, situation. It's the cultural connection to the situation. I think movies allows you to travel, you know, from the comfort of your home. So that's awesome. You know, you can expose yourself to more vocabulary in that way.
Very well said. We did a top 10 on Netflix, and one of the suggestions I was giving is that you can actually search for countries and it'll show you movies and TV series from that were produced in that country. So I don't know if you're planning to go to Cape Town, for example, and you want to brush up on your South African accent, then, you know, you could search for South Africa and you can find some different series and movies produced in South Africa.
Nice.
Yeah, it's so awesome. I mean, yeah, it's a great advancement in technology. So like we really have that benefit these days when we're learning languages. So yeah,
most definitely
for the win.
Back in the day, it's like you'd have to go to the library and hope that they have, you know, some movies on file that like you have the language you want to learn or something like that. And nowadays, it's never been easier.
Yeah,
exactly.
Great. All right, so basically, each of us is going to share two movie quotes. We'll take turns. So the first one I chose is from one of my favorite movies called Into the Wild. And if you haven't seen this, it's a really great one for, it's just like, if you like adventure, travel, nature, these kind of things, it's like a guy who's kind of got all of the advantages in the world. You know, he's going to a great university, his parents have a lot of money, but he just feels unhappy, you know, despite having all these things. And he decides when he graduates to just go completely against what everyone's expecting of him. And he, I think, burns his car, all of his money and everything. And he just kind of decides to live on the land. So it's and it's based on a true story, based on a novel that John Krakauer, who is a famous American author, wrote about a real person. And the quote that I chose from this movie, "The core of man's spirit comes from new experiences." And this is said by the main character in the movie, in the book. And he's in a situation where he basically meets this old man, and this old man lets him stay with him for a while. He's a widower, like his wife died, I believe. And, you know, he's just become very comfortable in his routine. And so basically the main character, I believe his name, he invents a new name. I think it's Alex Supertramp. And he's saying this because, you know, to try to get this old man to kind of break out of his comfort zone. You know, because saying, you know, you're not that old yet. You still have a lot of life ahead of you. Don't just spend it rotting away in your home. And he's saying, you know, that like, you know, if you want to awaken your spirit, you have to go and have new experiences. So I really like this because I'm someone who's like, I feel like I'm very adventurous, and I really feel like the best things in life are when you're having new experiences, being that trying a new food, or doing some new activity that you've never done before, maybe doing some sort of adventurous sport, or of course, traveling to new places, meeting people, discovering other cultures.
Cool.
Awesome. I love that. It's yeah, I love the quote. I feel like I don't know. I love things that inspire me. I'm a sucker for inspiration and hope. I think this is a very hopeful quote.
Yeah, what I like about it is the idea of getting out of our comfort zone, right? Because the core of our spirit comes from new experiences, right? So you can only experience new things if you get out or break out of your comfort zone, right?
Exactly. So, Cassie, I'm itching to hear what quote you chose.
Okay. So I chose a quote from the movie Shrek. I'm specifically referring to the first one because I think there've been tons of like other spin-offs and like
sequels.
Yeah, there've been like sequels and spin-offs, like not actual movies. And yeah, it's a very popular kids movie, but I adore it, and I watched it as a kid, and now I'm watching it with my son, like Chiago is doing. and it's an amazing movie because, like, I think it was one of the first, or no, it was the first animated feature to receive an Academy Award.
Wow.
In 2002. And it was really groundbreaking.
I didn't remember that.
Yeah, it was a big one. And it's packed with, like, tons of valuable life lessons. And I'm always amazed when I watch animated movies that, like, there's always something for me to learn, too.
Mm-hmm.
So Shrek and Donkey were on their way to rescue Princess Fiona from the tower that she was locked in. So they had to slay a dragon, which they didn't, but they managed to get her out of the tower. And they're on their way to bring her back to Lord Farquaad, who she's meant to marry. And while they're on their way back to meet with Lord Farquaad, they're out camping one night, and Shrek and Donkey are looking up at the stars, and Shrek is basically telling Donkey all about the constellations. Constellations are groups of stars which form a recognizable pattern, and it usually has some mythological meaning or this mythological figure related to it. But anyway, so the two of them are looking up at the stars and the mood is all good. And it changes, though, when Donkey starts to question Shrek about why he wants to build a wall around his swamp. So for those of you who don't know this, Shrek is an ogre, a green monster looking figure, and he's known for, you know, scaring people. But I think what's significant about this scene is that, you know, Shrek responds saying something that, you know, surprises Donkey, and I think, you know, really stayed with me since I was a child. He says, "Look, I'm not the one with the problem, okay? It's the world that seems to have a problem with me. People take one look at me and go, ugh, help, run, a big, stupid, ugly ogre. They judge me before they even know me. That's why I'm better off alone." And so in this situation, why this was, you know, significant, in my opinion, is that, or what it means is that Shrek is closed off to the world. He wants to shut himself away because of the judgment, because people have been judging him. So I think people have been judging Shrek all his life based on what they heard or what they think they know about ogres and his scary appearance, and they assume that he's a monster, and no one ever took the time to get to know who he is on the inside. And so because of their reaction to him, he's reacted negatively as well. And I love it because I think, like, you shouldn't judge anyone before you get to know them, because your perception might be very different from reality. And, you know, you sort of perpetuate that. It becomes a cycle. So they, you know, they assume, you assume, and, you know, no one ever really accepts and understands anyone for who they are. And that's an important lesson for not only for kids, but for adults as well. There are no, like, you know, super advanced words here in this quote, but I just want to point out, like, two language points here, which is, he says, the problem with something. I think this is, like, people don't, not a lot of people know this, because I have some students who actually asked me this, like, a few weeks ago. Someone asked me, what does it mean to have a problem with something or someone? Like, is it them that has the problem? Do I have, what does it mean? Is something wrong? And it means to find something or someone upsetting or annoying or offensive. So that's what it means to have a problem with something or someone. And for example, I can say, when I went to the cinema, I had a problem with the fact that the people sitting behind me were talking throughout the movie. And then the next one here is a phrasal verb. So I would say the phrasal verb, I'm better off. Better off. So better off means to be in a better situation than you were before.
Mm-hmm. It's a really great quote. I love the meaning there and the message there, you know, not to judge a book by its cover.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Also the idea of kindness generating kindness, right? Because Shrek is closed off because mm-hmm. people were unkind to him all his life.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if people had been nicer to him, yeah, and were open to meeting him, he wouldn't have been so closed off, right?
Most definitely.
Yeah, and I think the reason I find this also inspirational is because it's like that with everything in life. It's not only with people. So I think when we approach anything in our lives, we should really just try to understand it before we make judgments.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Thiago, do you want to do the honors with doing your quote next?
Yeah, so the movie I picked is called Dead Poets Society. It stars Robin Williams. And I think this movie came out in 89, something like that. Here I am again with the old movies, right? This one is really cool. It's one of my favorite movies because it's about an English teacher who is very unconventional. Yeah. And he gets this job at this all-boys school that is really conservative. Yeah. And since this teacher is very unorthodox, he teaches in a way that is not traditional, let's say. And he starts to get into trouble with the principal from the school, the headmaster, yeah? And many other things happen, right? It's a beautiful, beautiful drama, yeah? And what he's trying to do with these boys is he's trying to bring more art, let's say, to their lives, you know, to view the world with more artistic lenses, let's say, with more subjective lenses, because, you know, since it's a conservative school, the boys are taught, to be very pragmatic and, let's say, quote unquote, realistic, and only pursue jobs that are like, you know, engineering or medicine, you know, things like that, right? But then the quote here that I chose, I think it's one of his classes that he's teaching this class, and he tells the boys, here's the quote: "We don't read and write poetry because it's cute. We read and write poetry because we are members of the human race. And the human race is filled with passion. And medicine, law, business, engineering, these are noble pursuits and necessary to sustain life. But poetry, beauty, romance, love, these are all we stay alive for." So I think it's a beautiful quote. Yeah, he's talking about the importance of certain career paths, yeah, like business, medicine. These are necessary career paths, right? Society needs those. But we also need this, this other side, let's say, yeah, this artistic side, this side more related to our feelings, right? So he's trying to show that to the boys. And, you know, I think it's such a beautiful quote, yeah.
Totally agree. It's a really great message, just that, because I think especially for like young people that oftentimes it actually fits really well too, I think, with Into the Wild, because it's kind of a similar thing that, you know, your whole life you're told maybe by your parents or by other people that you should do this and that and that, or even society will have very, very strong pressures of what's expected of you. But a lot of people will end up really unhappy that way, right? You end up just kind of closed in a box because you've just listened to everyone else and you've never really reflected and gotten in touch with your inner self and been able to listen to your gut.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And the movie Dead Poets Society plays with that message also, yeah? So yeah, it's you know, I really recommend that one for sure.
Definitely. It's actually funny. I've only seen it once. It's definitely one I'd love to watch again because I remember it's a really impactful movie. But I saw it in English class when I was living in Germany.
I also watched it in English class. It was like one of my high school English classes. And I remember crying because I was so moved by the scene where they, you know, they all stand on the desk. And
it's a tearjerker, right?
Mm. Oh, Captain, my Captain, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tearjerker for sure. Yeah.
No spoilers, right?
Yeah.
Just a quick interruption to ask you a question. Do you ever feel frustrated when you are listening to a podcast, watching a TV series, or you are in a conversation in English and you do not understand what is said? Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our real-life native immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use your English in the real world. Just imagine understanding your favorite TV series without subtitles, or confidently speaking with someone and comprehending everything they say. You can do it, and we're here to help. And the best part is, you can try it for free with our 3-part Power Learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. That's P-O-D. Or simply click the link in the description of this episode. So we have three more quotes, but we're going to do a quick bit of trivia before we roll out the final three quotes. So, Thiago, I believe you're going to be the host for our trivia show.
Yeah, so now I'm going to test your knowledge, Ethan and Cassie's knowledge, on movies.
I'm so bad at movie trivia.
So, Ethan, starting with you. Question. In The Matrix, does Neo take the blue pill or the red pill?
Oh, that is a great question. It's a very iconic scene, right? So, I believe it's the red pill is the one that's, like, unhitching him from reality, right?
And the answer is correct.
Oh, amazing.
1 point, Ethan. Yeah.
Oh, no, the pressure.
All right. Cassie, your turn. Question. The head of what kind of animal is front and center in an infamous scene from The Godfather?
A horse.
And the answer is correct. Good job. Yeah. Point, Cassie.
Yay.
Yeah. Ethan, question. In what 1976 thriller does Robert De Niro famously say, "You talking to me?"
Oh, God. That is really iconic, but I'm having trouble remembering what that is. It's not The Shining, is it? I'm pretty sure he was in that, but I don't think it's that movie.
Yeah, that's Taxi Driver.
Taxi Driver.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just so you know, I would have not got that. Wouldn't have got it.
But you know the quote, right? Yeah. Like you've heard, because it's like people always reference it, right?
Yeah. Are you talking to me?
Yeah, he's looking at the mirror talking to himself, you know? Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Yeah. Okay. Cassie, question. Which movie was incorrectly announced as the winner of Best Picture at the 2017 Academy Awards during the greatest Oscars flub of all time?
Fences? Was it that one? Like, no. Was it? I don't know it. I think I just remember there being something about, like, fences and I don't know. I'm so sorry. I hope.
Do you know this one, Ethan?
No.
I thought it was like Moonlight or something, but maybe that was like the one that actually won.
Yeah.
I'm probably wrong though as well.
Remember. Yeah. La La Land.
La La Land. Yes. Oh, yeah. Man. Ugh. Yeah. I also thought it was something like Moon. They were dancing. It was dress. Yeah. I think she had a yellow dress on or something.
It's at night, like, right?
Instagram. Yeah. It's at night. Moonlight.
you said, I think the biggest, what did you say? The biggest glub of all time?
Yeah, I have here flub. Flub.
Flub. What does flub mean? What's a flub?
Cassie, could you take that one? Flub?
I guess it is the biggest, like faux pas, like the biggest mistake of the, or...
Mm-hmm. I think it's like a screw up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like an embarrassing mistake, right? Yeah. I like that word, by the way, faux pas, right?
Faux pas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, faux pas. French. Yeah, there you go. Cool.
Yeah.
Should we do a tiebreaker? Because we each got one.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do one more.
So let me pick a question here for the tiebreaker. Okay, this one is easy. So, let's see. Who should I ask now?
Like a hand raise or something like that?
Yeah, maybe you should speak together at the count of three, you know, like 3, 2, 1, say it, you know?
That's good.
Yeah, let's try that.
Okay.
So, which Alfred Hitchcock thriller is notorious for its shocking shower scene? 3, 2, 1.
Shining.
Bates Motel, that one at the Bates Motel. What was that called? Like, oh my gosh, I don't know the name. I'm right though, am I not?
You are, yeah. Cassie got the movie right, but the name is?
I'm not good with thrillers.
Does it start with the? No, I'm kidding. I really don't know.
It starts with a P.
Psych.
Co. Yeah, there you go. Psycho.
Is it?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Psycho. Yeah.
Okay.
Nice job, Cassie.
Good job, guys.
You get all the honors.
This is fun.
I think since you won, maybe you should share the next quote.
All right, sure. Okay. So the next quote, or the next movie I went with is a movie called Invictus. It stars Matt Damon and Morgan Freeman. At first, I felt that it was perhaps a little cheesy to talk about a movie based on an event in my country.
What does it mean if something's cheesy?
we, we had this one before.
I think so.
Cheesy and corny are quite similar. It means like something that's a little bit like almost like cringy. Like it's a bit like lame. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It's like in bad taste.
Like it's
right?
lame. It's not very cool. Yeah, it's not really something cool to do or something. It's rather, yeah, it can be very rather boring, like a boring. Something that's boring.
I think it's awesome, though, that you chose this one. Like, it's one of the really iconic movies about South Africa, right? That has recognition worldwide.
Exactly. The reason it even came to mind was because one of my Japanese students chatted with me about it recently. And, you know, the impact that it had on Japan during the last Rugby World Cup, because it was hosted, Japan hosted the Rugby World Cup. And this movie is about, it's an inspiring true story of how the newly elected President Nelson Mandela, played by Morgan Freeman, joins forces with the captain of South Africa's rugby team, Francois Pienaar. Let me say that in a South African accent, Francois Pienaar, who's played by Matt Damon, and they unite the country through rugby, and they overcome, they help sort of create the spirit of like inspiration and help sort of overcome racial division through the sport. Okay, so the quote is, by Nelson Mandela, it says, "Forgiveness liberates the soul. It removes fear. That is why it is such a powerful weapon." And I forgot to give you the context here. So in the scene, Nelson Mandela is in his office and his top bodyguard comes into the office and complains about some white cops that are part of the police force or were part of the police force during the apartheid era. And if you don't know, it was a time of sort of racial division and segregation in our country, in South Africa. And he's basically saying that, you know, a short time ago, these guys were attacking people of color, and now Nelson Mandela wants them to protect him, the first black president of the country. And he wants Mandela to refuse to have them protect him. But Mandela stops him and says that his presidency will represent all people in the country, all people, all races. We are a rainbow nation, and a rainbow nation meaning people of all race groups and cultures and diversity. And basically, this quote is about reconciliation and uniting people instead of, you know, perpetuating division. And so he won't only have black bodyguards, everyone should unite, and we should all feel that way. And it starts with him. That's what he's saying. So the word liberates, he uses it here, it means freedom. So it's a more advanced way of just saying freedom. And the words powerful weapon. So I know this sounds really negative, perhaps, and it can be used in a negative way. But we use it in this phrase to mean an action that brings significant change, an impactful change. So he's saying that, you know, forgiveness can really impact society. It can bring unity if it's used correctly. So basically what it means is that when you forgive someone, you no longer feel burdened by the way that they made you feel or what they did to you. It doesn't hold you back anymore. So you are free to move forward to a better future. So it's basically, when he says a weapon, it's like a tool for social and individual change. You're changing yourself and you're changing society, and then you're changing the world. And I love this. I love this. I love what it means. I love what it represents. So yeah, and it's not only about forgiving other people. It's like forgiving yourself. So you make a mistake and you realize that when you get over that feeling of like, oh, I made a mistake, and you forgive yourself, you can move on. You can move forward, and you can get better. So yeah.
Nice.
That's the quote.
Nelson Mandela was incredible because, you know, he was imprisoned and he could have been really bitter against, you know, the white Africans, you know, that had him imprisoned and everything. But he wasn't. I mean, he you know, really helped to unify the country, right? So he's
exactly.
I think forgiveness was like one of his one of the things he's most famous for, right?
Yeah, it's one of his like principal, I guess, what he's known for. Like one of those sort of like fundamental things of his presidency was forgiveness and reconciliation. So, yeah.
And one thing I'm curious about before we move on is how were their accents in this movie? Did they do the, because they're both American actors, right? How did they do?
Oh, Matt Damon. It's a no from me. It was not good. I think Morgan was a little better. Only slightly, but you could hear the American pronunciation come through. So, but I think they did a great job in terms of the acting, but the accents were not quite on point. Yeah. It's certain sounds that they're just not hitting, like the R, like François Pinard. Like you really have to. They just didn't get that right. Yeah. Anyway, that's it.
It's always interesting to hear about how different actors do with the accents, because it can be really hit or miss. Now, I'll share mine, and Thiago, I'll let you wrap us up. I'll try to be quick since we've gone quite long already. I chose actually two quotes, but I think they come from around the same time in the movie. The movie is The Greatest Showman, which is it's really spectacular. It's a musical, but it's just got such like a wonderful story and many really nice messages in it, and it's just so well done. I really like these two quotes because I think that they're both really great messages for you, dear listener, as an English learner. So the first one is comfort, the enemy of progress. The second one is no one ever made a difference by being like everyone else. So these come about the main character is P.T. Barnum, who I believe is based on a real person who kind of started a famous circus in the United States in the end of the 1800s, if I'm not mistaken. And he's going around looking for different, interesting, unique characters, people to join his show. And, you know, there's like a bearded woman who's an incredible singer. There's a man who's extremely tall. There's a man who's extremely, extremely fat. There's like a little person who it becomes like a cavalier, like riding horses, and all sorts of different unique people like this. And so he has all sorts of these different empowering words that he says to inspire these people who all their lives have been looked down upon, who've been, you know, told that they're freaks, have been told that they're worthless, and he helps them to feel really proud of who they are and their uniqueness. So the first one I think is really great because it's all about, I guess, kind of similar to the first quote I shared, but stepping out of your comfort zone, which is really, I think, perfect for you as an English learner, because when you're learning a language, it's like really, you can get into that, the intermediate plateau, as we call it, where you're comfortable understanding most things. You can watch your favorite series with or without subtitles, maybe. And it can be really easy just to lean into that comfort and just stay at that level. So it's like, you really have to, comfort is the enemy of progress. It's like, you have to continue doing the things that make you feel uncomfortable with the language to continue progressing and growing. And this requires a lot of deliberate practice, as we talk about. And the second one is all about not comparing yourself to others, which is very similar to the quote that Cassie shared from Shrek. So I thought those two actually went really well together. And I think in one, we tend to, when we're learning something, when we're learning anything, but for example, if you're learning a language, you might compare yourself to your friends or to other people you see who speak the language better than you do, or worse, you know, to make yourself feel better about your own skills. I think that's a trap that all of us fall into. So that's one thing that I think is important, is seeing it as your journey. And I also like this one, like towards language learning or English learning, that no one ever made a difference by being like everyone else, is that you don't necessarily need to aspire to sound just like a native. Because if you do, I don't know, if your goal is to go live in the US or the UK and you want to completely eliminate your accent, you're going to lose like a really interesting part of yourself. You know, your accent can be, I've always found having a little bit of an accent in different languages, of course you need to have like really good clarity so people can understand you all the time. But having a little bit of an accent makes you more interesting. It makes you exotic. It makes you more special. And it's a part of where you come from. So in certain situations, then, you know, maybe it's worth the hard work to really eliminate your accent. But I think for many of us, you know, it's like, why do you want to sound like everyone else when you can sound different, unique, and be more interesting? Saw both of these and I really like them both for language learning.
Yeah, I especially like the idea of like just, you know, what you said about accents. I think because it's something people keep asking, it always comes up. People want to eliminate, they think that eliminating their accent will make them sound more proficient, but it's not the accent. It's the pronunciation. And, you know, if you focus on that instead of the accent, you'll progress faster. So
yeah, maybe we should do a podcast talking about the difference between accent and pronunciation.
That would be great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Anyways, Thiago, I mean, there's a spoiler here of what your quote is, and I think it's a perfect one to wrap up today's podcast with. So do you want to give it a let her rip?
What does that mean, by the way? Let her rip.
Let her rip. It's connected speech as well, right? Let her rip. And it's...
Yeah,
like get started, right? Let her rip. Go for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this one comes from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. This is an 80s movie again, and it's one of those... teen coming-of-age movies. You know, coming-of-age is a period in a person's life when the person supposedly becomes an adult, right? That usually happens at around 18, right? In most countries, we call it coming-of-age. So this movie is one of those coming-of-age movies. Eh? And the quote is really nice because, you know, Ferris, the main character, he's very... in the moment, you know, he lives in the moment. He's very carpe diem, let's say, you know, he has this philosophy of seizing the day, enjoying the day. And his friend Cameron is the opposite. He's very uptight, you know, and very worried about everything, always thinking about what could be, what couldn't be, you know. So, you know, Ferris helps his friend Cameron to be a little bit more relaxed about it and just enjoy the moment. That's the overall message of the movie. Yeah? And the quote that he says here is, "Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it." Yeah. So once in a while means sometimes. Yeah? So it's just this idea of sometimes it's important for us to disconnect and get out of our, you know, let's say, day-to-day routine, work, study, or whatever else we do, and just enjoy ourselves. Just relax, chill a little bit, because before we know it, our lives will be over. And how much of it have we enjoyed? Yeah, so that's pretty much the message behind this quote.
There's a very similar expression we use in English that says, stop and smell the roses, right? Which is telling someone to, you know, usually when someone's like just stressed out and like, I have to do this and that, and it's kind of like, you know, just take a second to breathe, hear the birds, smell the roses, mm-hmm. And kind of just enjoy the present moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and applying that to English learning, the same thing. Sometimes as a learner, you are so focused, right, on studying hard and, you know, practicing your English every day, but you don't want to burn yourself out, yeah, or up, yeah? Is it out or up, Ethan?
Burn yourself out.
Out, right? Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to burn mm-hmm. yourself out. Yeah, so, you know, take a break sometimes from studying so hard and, you know, enjoy it, right?
Yeah. And I love, like, this is very serendipitous. Both the ones you chose today, Thiago, for me, are related to, like, German. Because this one, the first time I saw Ferris Bueller's Day Off was actually in the U.S., but it was in my German class in German. And then, like, later I've seen it a couple times in English, and it's just, like, an incredible movie. I think it's another one that's timeless as well, because... if I'm not mistaken, it's from the 80s. And obviously, like, the style and everything is very like that, like how they dress. But but just kind of like the message and like the spirit of it, I think is just so wonderful. You know, like skipping a day of school and like really seizing the moment.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
I think all these movies that we've listed today are ones that you, dear listener, can check out. Hopefully this weekend, if you're bored and you need a good flick to watch, then go check it out and look out for these quotes. You'll already be ahead a little bit on some of the meaning. And maybe head over to our Instagram and let us know one of your favorite movie quotes. I don't know if we could do something with that, Kase.
Yeah, definitely do that. Yeah, we can do that for sure. Please let us know. Like, share, comment, contact us, send us some love. We'd love to hear from you.
That said, thanks so much for joining us this week, and we'll see you next time on the Real Life English Podcast. 1, 2, 3. Oh, yeah. Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our three-part Power Learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.